It's Morning Edition on WNYC. I'm Richard Hake. I can't breathe. They were 43-year-old Eric Garner's dying words, repeated 11 times as he was held in a chokehold by police on Staten Island 5 years ago. Those three words became a rallying cry, chanted at protests, carried on signs, and worn on the body to bring attention to the Black Lives Matter movement. For performance artist Sean Leonardo, those words became the impetus and title for an unconventional piece of performance art. WNYC's cultural critic Rebecca Carroll sat down with Leonardo to discuss the piece, and she joins us now. Rebecca, good morning.
Good morning, Richard.
All right, can you tell us about the work? I understand it's challenging to describe.
Yeah, it's super challenging to describe. It's also unsettling in some ways. It's a multidisciplinary piece set in the framework of a self-defense workshop through a reenaction of the chokehold that killed Eric Garner. So the audience isn't merely observing, people are experiencing what Garner felt while also experiencing what Officer Daniel Pantaleo experienced putting someone in a chokehold.
It sounds really jarring.
It does, I agree. Leonardo is himself a man of color who lives in New York and could very easily face similar dangers from police. And Garner's death seems to have touched him in a deeply personal, physical way. He feels it in his body. And I think that's the response he hopes to get in others.
Unlike many people in my immediate community, I found myself watching the video over and over and over again. And that just connected to my own deep sense of fear. I could not find a way to not keep looking. I think that's the easiest way to put it. And I found myself looking and attempting to bear witness to a life lost first. And I started to ask myself, how is it that we can move closer to this tragedy so that it's not reduced to some argument, as it immediately was, to a justification of police action, or adversely, a vilification of police action. And I found myself questioning and wondering, what is it that I could do in any capacity to return some complexity to how people are looking at this event? How may I replace a looking to bearing witness so that Eric Garner's humanity is centered?
So how did he approach that?
He told me that all of his work is framed through embodied performance and that he's always looking for ways to move information from our minds to our bodies so that we take in or keep the memory differently, which is actually pretty great.
I created I Can't Breathe really through the lens of a self-defense course. And that is what people think they're being welcomed to. And whether or not you've ever participated in that type of workshop, you innately know what it means to be instructed. It's not until 30, 45 minutes into the practice that I start addressing what individuals are learning in terms of police violence. When we arrive at the sort of final part of the instruction, in which we look at what the NYPD refuses to call a chokehold, it's at that point in the staging of this performance that people understand that there's a different motive, a different sort of gravity of being in that room. You can't walk away thinking or feeling about that video, about the incident of Eric Garner's killing, the same way once you have felt the weight of that maneuver around your chest, on your neck. Adversely, you also can't think or feel about it the same way once you've applied that maneuver to a stranger. And it's with that weight that the information that would otherwise just exist in your head gets moved into your body. And that's much more difficult to walk away from.
And so I was also really interested to know, what does it feel like to make art out of the last words of a dying man?
I think about this all the time, and it's not something that I quite neatly have figured out how to answer. You know, the staging of this piece actually transitions from a more workshop format to something that is felt and understood to be more performative, in which I'm sharing the words of Nina Simone. I've extracted her answers in an interview that all revolve around ideas of fear. And at one point she says that living freely is navigating the world without fear. I think only some people really understand what that means. To be free is to have no fear in your body.
Mm.
And people of color, people like you and I, don't really understand what that could be. And so it's almost my obligation to move people closer to this tragedy in that way.
Mm.
And it culminates while I'm reciting Nina Simone's words. People are orchestrating what they've just learned on their own. So I give them verbal cues to enact all the maneuvers that I've just imparted.
Mm.
And it ends with a collective defense of the chokehold maneuver in which all the bodies participating are on the ground, at which point I recite I Can't Breathe the 11 times that Eric Garner said it at his death. And it's in that moment that we best know in our bodies the sheer lack of humanity that was present in that scene.
And does Leonardo still perform the piece?
Oof, no, he does not. And his answer as to why is really tough.
Every time I enacted I Can't Breathe, it took a little bit of life from me. I will say that I am often not very good at recovery. I'm very close to my work, both in my lived experience and the communities that I work with and for. I think what I would leave you with is that I, fortunately, am able to return to joy at my home with my daughters and with my wife. And that saves me. That brings me back to the work. That gives me the energy to return to the intensity needed. And that's something that, unfortunately, Eric Garner can't do.
Without ever having even been to one of these performances, mm-hmm. it's moving to think of the emotional and physical rigor he put into what essentially amounts to compassion.
I mean, I can feel it just in his telling of the story.
It's imaginative, but it's also devastating because Eric Garner is still dead. And now with news that no federal charges will be brought against Pantaleo without justice served.
All right, WNYC's cultural critic, Rebecca Carroll. Rebecca, thanks so much.
Thank you, Richard.